much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Let's do this. If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Vasectomy.
Hold it up. You're gonna let some quack doctor just knife around down there? You are blessed with a great power, and you should never snip its wings. You should let it soar.
Thanks, guys. That's enough. I don't need any more input.
Neither does your wife, I guess.
Look, you guys, if the sergeant wants to chop off his penis, that is his choice.
That's not what a vasectomy is. If you guys don't get back to work, I'm gonna start firing detectives.
And blanks.
Sorry.
I just never think of jokes.
Anybody else? This is your last chance.
Oh, God, no need to be so testy.
Guess you won't be manning the tip line.
Sergeant, is this going to go on your sperminate record?
Now playing Scrotal Recall.
And now.
Hey, I'm listening to your podcast, and you guys are doing an internet roundup, and you guys are talking about a cat that's being vacuumed. Hey, Lisa May, you need your cat vacuumed? Yay!
Our feature presentation.
I'm not feeling that one.
I think I kind of know where he thought he might be going.
Sure.
Right.
But
not sure he got there.
Didn't really arrive. Yes.
Not sure he got there. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 20th of October.
Why won't he fail?
I don't know. Damn it.
With all the failing he's done right. over the years, like all of a sudden he doesn't fail anymore?
Right.
Laser focus. And then he's just going to fall apart.
How yep.
dare you?
Oh, things are going to suck around here November 1st. I know that for a fact. Hey, speaking of Lisa's cat or whatever we were talking
right.
about there, sex in the ocean is probably better in principle, in theory,
in
than
movies?
It is in reality. Yeah, like in movies, they always make it look awesome.
Yeah.
But it's really not awesome, right?
It's not at all awesome.
I don't remember what Ralph and P were talking about on The Bachelor. Or the Bachelorette.
Oh,
one of those
that's right. That's right. That couple was supposedly.
Supposedly.
They did do it in the ocean.
They did. All right.
Yeah.
That's
but,
tricky.
In general, I think there's a lot of things working against you. I mean, I would have trouble. First of all, I would have trouble getting a girl to agree. But second right. of all, I would have trouble with just thinking about what's in the water. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. And there's sand and it's salty.
Yes.
There's
it's a terrible,
surge.
A terrible lubricant.
Bad.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I bring all this up to bring this up, that there's an Italian couple that was enjoying a practically deserted beach at the Porto San Giorgio. They were, the article says, expressing their love.
Ah.
But it came to an embarrassing end when the man was unable to extricate himself from the woman due to suction. They got stuck together, you guys.
Like a what? Couple of dogs.
Yep. Exactly.
Wow.
Aren't there some penises in the animal kingdom that have ridges on them or spikes or something like that, and they can? It's not uncommon for them to kind of get stuck and have difficulty?
I don't know. I really am not up on my
animal penises.
Sea animal penises.
Yeah. They remained in the water until they caught the attention of a woman walking along the beach who gave them a towel, and they struggled back to shore, still stuck together, by the way, which must have been interesting to see them kind of wiggle out of the water. A doctor was called, and they were taken to the hospital emergency room, and there the woman was given an injection, usually used to dilate the uterus of a pregnant woman, and that's how they were able to untangle the couple.
Do you have an address on her?
Why? I would think she would be one you'd want to stay away from.
Mm.
Sounds like there's a degree of difficulty in the dismount is what it sounds like
right.
to me. No further information about how the couple did afterwards. Or it doesn't even say in this article how long they were coupled together. I mean, I'm just thinking about all the particulars of them crawling out on the beach, then having the ambulance come and pick up the two of them together while they're stuck and getting them in the ambulance and getting them into the emergency room and they're naked. The whole thing just must have been – it must have just felt like a nightmare to them, right?
That's pretty awesome. Sorry, everybody in here with Ebola. we can't get unstuck.
According to this article from this Italian paper, by the way, this is not the first report to emerge this year of a couple getting stuck together while having sex. In July, a couple in Zimbabwe were stuck together for 7 hours.
Wow.
Could they not get help?
They're in Zimbabwe. I don't know how much help there is there.
Yeah,
but
maybe it just took that long to get. Maybe they're on a deserted beach or
that's
something.
That's a thing?
Maybe they're in a car.
Is this a thing?
Is it just in the ocean?
These people weren't in the ocean. They got stuck together for 7 hours, but it doesn't say why it took so long for them to get help. Who knows? Like you said, Lisa, maybe they were in a deserted location or, you know, in a car or home alone and without a phone. I don't know.
I didn't know could happen, generally speaking.
That's what I'm saying.
In that case, by the way, the couple was unlocked with the help of the man's father.
No. Nope. I'd be stuck for life.
You'd be like, honey, looks like we're just going to die here.
Let's get used to it.
Because we're not going to have my dad help us out.
We're not telling anyone.
So anyway, that's what happened to those couples. So I guess there's just one more thing for us to be afraid of.
Sticky vagina. We're all going to die.
That's right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't know why.
I think it's going to be pretty good. Gabriel Iglesias will be on the program today.
Mm-hmm. I love Fluffy.
He's the best. Andrew Siciliano looking at this weekend's games NFL. You alive? You still there, Bean? You okay?
I don't think the Seahawks played yesterday. I didn't hear anything about it.
They didn't really, technically.
How dare you?
We're also going to talk to Dax from TMZ about the weekend. And we got Travis Barker coming in studio.
He's always
fascinating.
Great.
He always has 17 projects going at the same time. So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back to the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Starting at 9 o'clock this morning and every hour during the day, all week long, we are hooking you up with tickets to the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball. We haven't talked much about this, but how about having 30 seconds to Mars play the K-Rock Halloween Party? How about that?
Oh, pretty cool. That'd be amazing.
Yep, it's amazing. Yeah, it's at the Fonda Theater. Your only way in is to win tickets from K-Rock again starting at 9 o'clock this morning and then every hour all day long. Details at K-Rock.com. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Speaking of tickets, I've got some tickets. A pair of tickets to the K-Rock screening of John Wick. John Wick.
John Wick.
John Wick.
You're saying John
Wick. John Wick. John Wick. John Wick is a movie about an ex-hitman who comes out of retirement to track down the gangsters that took everything from him, and he is not happy about it. And he's John Wick. And his name is John Wick.
I like this movie the other 700 times it's been made.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves stars in the film. Alfie Allen also in the film, if you'd like to check it out. And why wouldn't you? A pair of tickets to K-Rock's screening tomorrow night at the AMC Century City. If you can't go tomorrow night, don't call. But if you want to, call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. And five lucky winners will get a pair of tickets to go see John Wick.
That Keanu Reeves doesn't work much, does he?
It's not.
Every once in a while, he did Kung Fu movie that he directed.
Is it because he doesn't have to?
He doesn't have to. No, yes. Matrix made him a wealthy, wealthy man. But speaking of movies, top 10 movies at the box office. We talk about them every Monday morning. Fury, the Brad Pitt World War II tank movie, came in at number one this weekend with $23.5 million.
How was it, Kevin?
Great.
Great.
It was really great.
Great and loud.
It was loud.
And great.
And it was great.
And very...
I loved it.
Shoot. Very shoot movie.
It does. It did look loud.
And shoot.
It was loud and shoot. That's true.
Gone Girl was second at the box office. The Book of Life from our friend Jorge Gutierrez came in at number three.
Congratulations, Jorge.
$17 million it made this weekend.
Fantastic.
Good for those guys. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day, $12 million made it number four. The Best of Me in its debut was fifth. Dracula Untold, The Judge, Annabelle, The Equalizer, and The Maze Runner were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. You know, I love the collectibles. Over the weekend, there was a big auction at Profiles in History, the auction house that specializes in Hollywood collectibles, and they sold the Harley Davidson motorcycle from the 1969 movie Easy Rider over the weekend. Sold for the low, low price of $1.35 million. It's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
But you get to have the Easy Rider motorcycle.
But don't you feel like you'll spend the rest of your life going, seriously, it's the one that was in the movie?
You know, it's got an odd letter of authenticity and all that stuff. And just put that in people's faces and go, look!
Read it.
Read it and love it. Lick it.
You know what? If you're buying a piece of memorabilia like that and your intention is to one day turn around and sell it, I guess you have to count on the movie it's associated with being something that people are going to still be interested in. People won't have already forgotten about it and not care anymore.
Yeah, sure. Well,
you think Easy Rider is a movie like that? In 30 years, people will still know about it and like it?
Gosh, 45 years later, people are still talking about it. So
that's because
I think
a lot of those people who saw it in the theaters at the time are still alive. But in another 30 years, that's probably not going to be the case. That's why I'm wondering if it's one that's going to be a gamble that pays off.
Rider is a film of historic proportions because of what it meant to the independent film industry, and I think it'll always be that. So now what do you got?
Good luck. Good luck to him.
We just don't know.
I guess we'll know.
I just told you I knew.
I think I'm going to be able to buy that motorcycle for $400 in about 25 years.
I look forward to you doing that. And while we're talking about props and things from the movies, this is sort of a weird phenomenon. This is where art imitates life and vice versa. Archaeologists found a big statue of the Sphinx. You know the Sphinx? Are you familiar with the Sphinx?
Yeah.
Sure. That's what I call my penis.
No, not the Stinks. The Sphinx. You know, from Egypt.
Sure.
The half lion, half woman statue. They found it in the desert, under the dunes, in Guadalupe, California.
Really?
A giant statue of the Sphinx under these sand dunes. And they realized, after they unearthed it, that it was actually from the filming of a 1923 Cecil B. DeMille film, The Ten Commandments.
Wow.
The silent film was made in 1923, and the 15-foot-tall statue was one of 21 made for the movie as part of the set. And after they were done filming, they just walked away from the set, and it just got covered by the sand dunes, and they unearthed it, thinking,
how weird.
What is this statue we found? And it turns out it's just a 91-year-old prop that they found under some sand.
Huh. That's an awesome discovery.
It is kind of cool.
That's going to be quite something to check out.
I'll buy that Sphinx for $400 in 25 years. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Tom Petty, he is 64 years old today. Director Danny Boyle is 58. Viggo Mortensen turns 56. Snoop, mother-loving dog, turns 43 today. Actor John Krasinski is 35, and model Candace Swanepoel.
Yeah.
Kevin's friends with her. You guys are good friends, aren't you?
I wouldn't say good friends.
Would you say friends at all?
No.
Oh. She's 26. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour from right now on the world-famous K-Rock, we are going to have Travis Barker here.
Yay.
Very excited. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:25.
Dax Holt is in the TMZ newsroom right now. Dax, did Harvey break up with us? What happened, man? Are we still cool?
No, he headed to New York, so he's on a little business trip right now.
All right. So do you run the newsroom when he's gone? Like, will you lead the meeting today on TV?
No, that'll probably be Charles. I got stuff to do over here. Look at photos and stuff.
You guys run around and have food fights and stuff like that. Because wear panties on your head,
right? Yeah, we're all getting out of here at like 10 a.m.
Right, today. Exactly.
We're not working late. Screw that.
I don't doubt that at all. Well, listen, we got a bunch of great stuff up at TMZ.com that we want to talk about. But can we please start with the butt plug? Because the butt plug is the funniest story that you have had in so long. Explain to people who haven't seen this photo what it is, and tell us if you know how it happened.
Oh my God, I love this story. So Paul McCartney is an artist, okay? He puts up all of these giant statues around the world, blow up stuff. So he erected this giant piece of work in the middle of Paris in Palace Vendôme, and he called it tree, okay? It's a giant blow up tree. However,
it's not a tree.
It's actually a butt plug. It looks just like a giant green butt plug blown up. It's like 24 feet tall, right in the middle of Paris. And he's covering by saying it's a tree. There's no way this is a tree if you see the picture of it.
Yeah, it's...
And apparently there's some vandals out there that were not happy. They have a giant butt plug in the middle of town. So they went and they, like, cut the cables in the middle of the night and deflated this giant thing. It is hilarious.
Aren't vandals supposed to love stuff like that?
That's what I would think, because he like got away with being like, oh, this is just a tree, you guys. It's just a
right.
tree. I'm just going to put this in the middle of town. Don't worry about it. And then it blows up, and everyone's like,
But I'm always so surprised when something like this happens, because you have to figure in a public square like that that the, a lot of people must have signed off on this thing before it was, no pun intended, erected, right?
That's what I'm telling you. He convinced them it was a tree.
That's awesome.
Well, you got to go to TMZ.com just to see the photos of this, because it's crazy. All right, next up, David Letterman, in his final months as the late night host on CBS, had a little bit of drama on his staff this week. Boy, you don't hear about a story like this very often, do you, Dax?
No, well, they may be covered up a little bit better, but this is a great story. So Tony Mendez, who is the guy that does all the cue cards, he's been on the show forever, apparently got into it with one of the writers on the show. What happened was Tony was talking to David. This writer named Bill Sheff came up and interrupted them, and apparently Tony just snapped. He told the writer off, and David jumped in and kind of snapped at Tony for yelling at him. So he yelled at David Letterman and said, "You're the one with the sour disposition, mother effer."
Yeah!
Wow.
Yeah.
Then went home, kind of stewed on it all night long, is just getting more and more frustrated. Came back the next day, grabbed the writer by the shirt, pinned him up against the wall, and started like yelling at him. Well, next thing you know, he got kicked out of the building, he got fired, but then said, "Look, you know, I just want to let everyone know Dave was the best boss ever, very, very generous, no hard feelings." But I love this, like, almost ending, and you threw up a writer up against the wall and got fired for it. Like,
yeah.
Such good drama at the David Letterman set.
Seriously, if he could have just hung on for, like, three more months, he probably would have gotten some sort of huge bonus from Dave, because he's been working on the show forever, and instead he's unemployed early.
Yeah, well, they said they would pay him out through the end of the show, but that's not the same. Like, you've been on the show for so long, go out with dignity.
Yeah, exactly. That's crazy.
But, I mean, also, calling your boss a mother effer is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I guess you can't be
he
surprised
when
you get
fired. Moment.
You've done that with Harvey, right, Dax?
Oh, yeah. I've texted Harvey. He's a mother effer.
All right, one more in our final minute, Dax, and that is, and I know you love Bruce Jenner and his hair and his love life, but it sounds like
everything.
I do too.
I know everything about Bruce Jenner. What is seriously the deal with the hair? Like, how old is he, and is it weird for someone his age to grow a ponytail?
I don't know. It's a little bit of everything: the hair, the shaved legs, the whole thing. But the best part. Okay, so now he's apparently dating Kris Jenner's best friend. By the way, her name's Rhonda. They've been friends for like 20 years.
That's my favorite part.
He went to the Elton John concert with her. They've been apparently together for a while. Kris is devastated. Well, you know what's funny? Today on the Today Show, Kris just sat down. Hoda asked her about Bruce transitioning into a woman. On the
Today
finally. Show.
Finally, somebody's asking her straight up. What did she say?
And she just answered. She goes, "Oh, those rumors have been around since the 70s.
Nope. No, they haven't.
But doesn't he have breasts now, Dax?
You guys, I'm telling you, it's very strange. I don't understand. I mean, more power to him if he feels more comfortable like that. But yes, he it looks like he's kind of developed breasts. He got his larynx shaved. He's got the long hair, the earrings, the manicure, pedicure. I don't know. But as long as he's comfortable, but wow, it is fascinating to watch this whole thing.
I do love that that Kris Jenner is angry because he's begging her best friend. Did you say 29 years?
Like 20 years.
Love it.
They've been friends. And this is a woman, by the way. Rhonda is a woman.
Right.
Just clear that up.
Just try and get your head around everything.
So he might not be banging her? Is that what you're saying? If he's also a woman?
Listen, I don't know.
We don't know
any of it. I just sit back and watch.
Dax, find this. Do some snooping. Come on.
Look.
I try.
I think I speak for all of us when I say we all want Bruce Jenner to be happy. And like Dax said, if he wants to be a woman, Godspeed, be a woman. But we can all agree that any situation where Kris Jenner is sad is good for the world.
Correct. Yes.
Right?
That is correct.
I think we're all in agreement on that. All right. TMZ airs on the Fox Channel 11. TMZ Live airs at 4 each day. And, of course, the new TMZ Sports is on the Reels channel. That's with a Z. So check that out as well. Dax, have a great week. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks, guys.
Ralph Grammer's got the Showbiz Beat coming up in about 10 minutes. And we'll play some Green Day, who are on their way into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame next year, I'm a-guessing. First, though, last week, it was a terrible situation for many people involved in the incident out there in Ontario on the 60 freeway. Bad for the person who was so distressed that he thought he wanted to commit suicide. Bad for the law enforcement that had to be called to try to talk him out of it. But really bad for the thousands and thousands and thousands of cars who were just stuck with nowhere to go on the 60 while they had to close both sides of the freeway.
Yeah. And you know how that gets. Like, the first 15 minutes, you go, well, all right, this is going to suck.
But 15 minutes is a lifetime.
Yeah.
When you are stopped on a freeway.
Yeah. By the way, this was about 4 to 5 hours, from what I can tell, of the freeway being closed both ways.
After 15 minutes, I need to know where a bathroom is.
Yeah. Well,
I'm
right.
So screwed.
And you have no options. It's not like you can turn around and go the other way on the freeway and take an exit and find a different route. I mean, you literally just have to sit there. And I guarantee, Lisa, there are a lot of people who just had to pee in their cars. There's no choice.
I'm sure.
I guarantee one of those called the Afro Line.
Really?
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. This guy called.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? I'm stuck on the 60 freeway for the past 60 minutes and nothing happening.
It's the worst.
Call back.
Hey, guys. Still me. I f***ing hate motorcycles with all my life. I know, like, why didn't I invest in one? I mean, I know I've crashed one and got a concussion before, but, like, totally would have been a good investment for today. Know what I mean? Oh, look, here's another outfit with a motorcycle. F*** you.
Yeah, so you can see he's getting a little more angry because the motorcycles can move.
Yes.
Cars cannot.
That's true.
Another update.
All right, so it's day 25 of being on the 60 freeway, starting to run low on food. I got to take a really, really bad thing. I'm going to just pop open my door and let this asshole behind me still has his lights. So, I mean, you beer mug, it's all your fault, you fat.
I don't know why he turned on beer mug, but I think it's the right thing. It's
he's
the right
sort of thing. Well, through all the different stages.
He is, yeah.
I think we were all hoping when we heard that there was a potential jumper that it was beer mug.
So after day 25 update, now he's really got to go, and this is the update for that.
What's up? Me again. Just finished peeing. The guy behind me got a glimpse of my wiener. He flashed his lights a couple times, you know, but, I mean, turn off your lights. Don't be such a dick, bro. Like, just trying to pee on the freeway. Now this guy in front of me, he just got out of his car, looking for something in his trunk. Hope it's a gun so he can shoot me between the eyes like old Yeller. I need life right now. I'll kill myself. I really know, JK.
Oh, my God.
By the way, you said 4 to 6 hours, Kevin?
Yeah, I think so. I think it started at like 7, and it didn't get cleared until 11:20.
That's got to be now, one of the longest closures.
Absolutely. And now you have to be dealing with car batteries that run down.
Yeah.
People who are listening to the radio.
Right. You're right.
And then they're now they've got a bunch of dead cars on the street when they finally do open it up.
Yep. It's me again. Stupid helicopters flying around. Stupid cops not doing anything. Stupid Channel 4 recording nothing. Why am I stuck on this freeway? I'll never know. Am I even going to make it home to feed my poor husky? If my dog dies, I'm going to stab somebody. And it's going to be beer mug, you fat. Watch all that lard fall out of your stomach, you fat ass. Watch your go on to die, you piece of
Oh, my God.
It's getting violent now.
Not quite so bad.
So, Lisa, why don't you drive on down to 60 and meet me in my black Honda Accord? No, seriously, please come. I'm so lonely.
He continues.
Oh. Well, now this stupid asshole over here taking a selfie on the freeway. What a dumbass.
Call back.
Hey, what's up, guys? Me again. Just bored. As always. Three assholes on a motorcycle are going the opposite way on the freeway now. I bet they think they're cool. Hope you crash and die. Not really, though. That would be mean. But, yeah, I think you crash. Just don't die.
All right, so now he's starting to lose hope and get really angry. And then he figures out, I guess by listening to the radio, why the freeway is closed. Because the guy is threatening to jump, and so the police are trying to talk him down.
This guy just needs to jump already. Like, I need to get home to my dog. My dog is way more important than someone that wants to kill themselves. Am I right, or am I right? Like, jump already, bro. If not, come down, we'll go home, smoke some weed, you'll feel better. It's not that complicated. Life gets hard to smoke some weed, bro. But no, you gotta ruin everybody else's life too. Hate you.
By the way, I'm glad the guy didn't jump, but if you're going to commit suicide, don't do it in a way that inconveniences thousands of other people. That's just bad form, right?
It's rude.
It's not thoughtful.
If you were able to take a survey, let's say there are 1,000 cars in that line, and I'm sure there were more, but let's just say for purposes of numbers, there are 1,000 cars. If you would have asked the drivers 3 hours in,
yeah.
Do you just want the guy to jump so we can move,
or are you content to stay here while we try to talk him down? What do you think the poll would have showed?
Jump.
I'd say let's move on with life.
Yeah.
Or like, or whatever. Overwhelmingly, let's sacrifice human life just so I can get just past so this get, traffic.
Yeah,
right?
because you're so angry at that point, for God's sake.
Well, and you don't know, like, people are supposed to be picking up their kids, and, like, there's all sorts of terrible things happening.
Absolutely.
So now the guy's starting to lose his mind, starts singing.
Stuck on the 60, stuck on the 60, stuck on the 60. Stuck on the 60 with a lot of people. I just want to go home. I need a taco. I wish that the police can see all the people that are so angry, because we're all stuck on the 60.
I think he's handling it well. How? Where would you be on hour five?
I don't know.
I would have lost my mind by now.
I probably, though, would have met him at the Ebola song.
Ebola. Ebola. Don't touch a friend. Don't eat nothing. Ebola.
Hey, can we hire him to replace Beer Mug? Sounds very
talented.
You know,
if you guys ever need a beer mug whacked, I know a couple people in Mexico that will do it for free. So, offer's on the table. Just, wink twice if you, agree. Know what I mean?
All right. And finally.
Quick update. Phone's on 3%. Guy still hasn't jumped. People are pissed. Everyone's saying just jump. I peed on the Channel 4 van. I had to go. The guy said it was cool. So, yeah, that sums up my night. Stuck on the freeway, peed on the Channel 4 van. Asshole still hasn't jumped. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.
We'll miss you.
Poor bastard. 323-520-AFRO. Anytime.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Naomi Campbell. Nope. Norm MacDonald.
What? With Naomi Campbell.
I got tears in my eyes. I can't read.
That was a moment with Ralph.
Yeah.
Naomi Campbell, Norm MacDonald. They're practically the same. Come on.
I stopped caring. Right there.
Our friend Travis Barker joins us in studio next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's got a lot of cool stuff going on. Also, Fluffy will be here, Gabriel Iglesias, and much more, including Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network. All straight ahead. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday.
It is a Monday. That means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Fury, number one this weekend. $23.5 million made it number one in its debut. Gone Girl. It's number two, $17.8 million. Then The Book of Life, the new animated tale, came in at number three with $17 million at the box office in its debut.
How about that? Congratulations.
Glad for those guys. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Movie made $12 million at the box office this weekend. The Best of Me in its debut was fifth. Glad to see people rejected the Nicholas Sparks movie outright. This made $10 million this weekend. Dracula Untold, The Judge, Annabelle, The Equalizer, and The Maze Runner, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, Guillermo del Toro says not only will there be a sequel to last year's hit Pacific Rim, but there will be two sequels. He tells the website Collider, "All I can say is that some of your favorite characters come back, some others don't, because we've decided that we're going to shoot ambitiously and say, let's hope we have three movies."
Wow.
Currently, Pacific Rim 2 is slated to appear in April of 2017, 2.5 years away, and then another one a couple of years after that. So.
Sounds great!
We've got a lot of Pacific Rim in our future. I love the rim.
Forgive me yes, you do. Forgive me for not remembering this, but what was that an alien movie or a war movie? What was Pacific, which one was Pacific
God
Rim?
Damn it, Bean.
I don't remember.
That was when the Goji came out of the water, and we had to build giant suits to battle them.
So it was like a Godzilla update, sort of?
Kind of like
that kind of movie?
It was like Godzilla. Giant creatures
was it good?
That had to be battled with giant battle suits.
The Kaiju.
Kaiju, that's it. Yeah, not the Goji. That's different.
Was it good?
Who remembers?
It was good, yes.
Okay.
Are you done now? Are you done now with all your questions?
I just didn't know.
You don't know. That's the problem. James Spader says he's slightly OCD.
I could see that.
Well, he's red. He can do whatever he wants. According to Star Magazine, he can't stand to see other people eating.
So it's a It's not a sound thing. It's he doesn't like to watch it.
Can't watch it.
Huh.
So there's a rule on the set of Blacklist. If he walks by, the people in the craft services have to turn their backs towards him and eat in secret so he can't see them. Oh, here he comes. You got to turn around so he doesn't see you eating.
Really?
Yeah.
So does he never go out to lunch or dinner with friends or family?
I do not have any further information his eating habits, but he does not like to watch other people eat.
Yummy.
I would like to open up the phones at some point here on the Kevin and Bean Show and ask what people are OCD about, like what things that...
Yeah.
You know, what's that weird pet peeve that you have that you cannot bear?
Because this one, you can't stand to watch people eat, seems like a...
That would be problematic, wouldn't it?
Yes, but also pretty small weird thing to single out, don't you think?
I know someone who's got an OCD thing with peanut butter.
Huh.
Like in a jar of peanut butter.
Right.
If someone goes in there and you get a scoop of peanut butter out and you put it on a sandwich or whatever, they have to go in, the peanut butter has to be smooth. They have to go back in and pack it down and make it smooth on top. It can't look like there's a big hole in the center, or it can't be pushed over to the sides or something. It has to be matted back down and like smoothed over on top. So when you open the jar up, there's a smooth surface on the top of the peanut butter.
Yeah, good luck to that guy.
That's his OCD thing.
Hmm. That's weird.
Everybody's got something, man. My wife, for example, has to have all of the bottles or cans of soda or beer or whatever in the refrigerator, all with the labels pointing out towards you when you open the door. You can't
That at least makes sense.
Really? Because you don't know it's a Diet Coke? Because you can't identify it's a Diet Coke unless the Diet Coke label is pointed out towards you when you open the door?
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't know.
That's the problem.
You and the other one just don't goddamn know.
Right.
Open up a blog. Everybody's got something, man. I don't understand it. I just don't understand
it. Yeah.
Weird. Today's celebrity birthdays, Candace Swanepoel. She's 26 years old today.
Ladies, be more like Candace Swanepoel, would you?
Okay. Done. Easy. Move on.
That was simple.
Yeah. Just had to ask.
John Krasinski's 35 years old.
Bean, be more like John Krasinski.
Oh, snap! Boom! Suck it! Snoop Dogg's 43 years old today. Viggo Mortensen has a tail.
Yes,
he does.
That's true.
And he's 56. Danny Boyle is 58 years old. And singer Tom Petty turned 64 years old today.
Still awesome, by the way.
Okay, if you say so. I don't know much.
Don't we all agree that Tom Petty's still awesome?
Well, I heard his show was great at the Hollywood Bowl recently.
I don't know. He doesn't look a day over 74, though.
But he was rough to look at. Yeah, I also heard that.
He does look like a homeless guy. Other than that, he's good.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network on the program today. Also, our friend Travis Barker will be here in just a few minutes, and comedian Gabriel Iglesias as well. The Sunset Strip is changing, you guys.
A lot.
Keep hearing about all these places that are closed down. The Key Club closed its doors earlier this year. The House of Blues, we know, is out of business. And now, and this one's going to be very painful for you, Lisa May.
Yes.
The Hollywood Hustler store is going to have to be torn down.
What? But that's where I go for all my sexy needs.
Of course. Very convincing. It was the first of the 13 locations throughout the United States. It is the Hustler Hollywood flagship location there, and it's been very popular. Everything I've read about this says that the store is doing fine, so maybe they'll relocate to another location, but they have to tear it down because they're building hotels along the Sunset Strip. It's been years, decades since they built any new hotels on the Sunset Strip, but apparently that's where all that real estate is going, so... No more Hustler Hollywood, at least for a while. You know who must be super bummed out about that is our old friend Larry Flint. We like to check in from him with him from time to time and see how he's doing. Hi, Larry. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What's happening? You at a party?
I was ready to check in from you from time to time.
Yeah. I didn't say that as eloquently as I might have hoped.
You talk like I walk.
So, Larry, Hustler Hollywood has kind of been your baby. I mean, it's been kind of one of the crown jewels of Hustler Enterprises in recent years.
Well, it hasn't been my baby, but it's involved a lot of things that it takes to make a baby.
Sure,
that's
right.
Sure. Like vaginas.
Right.
And penises.
Right. I mean, we understand that.
I don't know. You know how to make a baby?
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad that your friend there goes to the store for all her sexy needs.
She does. That happens, apparently.
Least sexy thing I've ever heard.
Larry, did you just come on so you can make fun of all the broadcasters on the show? Is that why you're here?
I just came on. God, I'm sorry. I'm sort of in a bad mood because Hustlers Hollywood is closing.
Yeah, I can imagine. That would you'd have mixed feelings.
This was the start of a whole new side of the Hustler Enterprises, and it's an important part of what we do at Hustler, and it's sad to see it go away.
Right.
Yeah. And, of course, you've got that famous Walk of Fame out in front of the Hustler store with Ron Jeremy. I think his hand and footprints are out there, Jenna Jameson, some others. Are you going to tear that up and relocate that, or what are your plans for that?
Yeah, we're going to pull those blocks of concrete up, and we'll move them to one of the other locations. So those won't be lost for posterity posteriors.
Is there a chance? Now, you still have the Hustler Casino. That's still an ongoing concern, right?
Yeah, that's still going, and everybody loves to come down there and play cards. But in terms of the real retail outlets for Hustler, we're going to have to find another location, hopefully, in Hollywood, where people can go and get all their sexy needs.
So you're looking for a place so that you can reopen the store in Hollywood?
Yeah, I mean, I'm here at the store now, I'm just waiting for the one of the real estate guys to come by and tell us where we're moving to.
So right.
He's at the door. Hold on a second. No. I have to go answer the door.
How about that? No.
I'm going to get up and walk over there.
No, don't get up. Don't try to get out of the wheelchair, Larry. No. Wait, what's happening here? How is this happening?
All right, Bill, come on.
What?
Larry can't walk?
Yeah, I could always walk.
What are you talking about?
I was just fooling around.
You've been in a wheelchair since I was born.
Yeah, it's just a prop.
Well, congratulations, I guess. You can walk.
Yeah, I always could.
Very excited.
Who's your latest obsession, Bean?
Al Sharpton.
You ever watch his show on MSNBC?
No.
Not really.
Because no one ever watches MSNBC. It's got to be among the lowest rated program, channels on the air that has original program. It has to be.
I will tell you this, though, Bean, and this fascinates me, and I'm not sure why it's true. When I'm on the road and I'm in a hotel, for some reason, I watch those jail programs at Lock Up and all that.
Oh, yeah.
I
mm-hmm.
think they're on MSNBC. And I'll watch 8 hours of that. And I never watch it at home.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
I don't know why, but that is on MSNBC, but I don't watch anything else on there.
Well, Al does Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. apparently, and he spends – I don't know if you've ever seen him on TV. He's terrible. He never has any idea what he's talking about. He spends zero time researching the issues or preparing for his broadcast or anything like that. And he's just a giant bag of hot air. I think Al Sharpton had his day. I think he did some good stuff like Jesse Jackson did back in the 60s toward, civil rights activism back in this country. But he's worthless now, and he needs to gain the weight back because he looks ridiculous.
Yeah, some people don't look good thin.
He's a lollipop.
He mispronounces words all the time.
Hey, let's not be too critical of that, though.
Well, somebody, his name is David Rutz, on a site called The Free Beacon, noticed that one of the things that Al Sharpton does on his show is he will interact with the clips, like we do. He'll play a news piece, usually from some sort of a Republican senator or some sort of a conservative spokesperson or something like that. And then whatever the last thing is in the clip, Al will use that to start his rant afterwards. It's kind of a technique that he uses. And somebody edited together, I guess this guy David, edited together a whole bunch of Al Sharpton responding to the clips.
Love it.
And I don't know why, it cracks me up, and it gets funnier the longer it goes. I thought we might hear some of it.
I don't think it's divided at all.
It's not divided at all?
Make some friends.
Make some friends?
We're the party of equality.
The party of equality?
U.S. policy has changed.
U.S. policy has changed?
We are seeing at the same time liberty under assault.
Liberty is under assault?
Democrats are feeling the heat.
Democrats are feeling the heat?
I didn't expect that was going to be my lifetime's work.
He didn't expect it to be his lifetime's work.
I think that will be the demise of our republic.
The demise of our republic?
Now, it just goes on about that.
That's awesome.
Do you want a little bit more?
Yes.
Okay, because I think it's funny.
I'm not for giving ducks and deer weapons to shoot back at me.
Giving ducks and deer weapons to shoot back at you. What does that even mean?
I think they're cooking the books on this.
Cooking the books?
In the way of the people's priorities.
The people's priorities?
Nor do I recall anyone believing that.
He doesn't recall anyone believing that?
Thank you for your question.
Thank you for your question.
Yeah, there you go. The great Al Sharpton, ladies and gentlemen.
That's
awesome.
He does it verbatim. I thought you were just talking about it here and there. He does it absolutely verbatim.
And I wonder if it's the first time he's ever heard the clip. I really do. But I'm gonna tweet that out so you can see the video of it, because it's actually very, very funny. But there's Reverend Al.
So does he only pick clips that he can agree with or disagree with the last statement?
I don't know. I don't watch his show. Oh, I don't watch his show. But somebody did find that trend and put him together. I think it's great.
That's a genius job right there.
You know how we always joke, Kevin? We say that stars are just like us.
Yeah.
Travis Barker had his entire morning turned upside down by what? About a six-year-old, Travis? Who was calling the shots at your house this morning?
Oh, my gosh. My daughter. Yeah. She's the boss.
And how old is she?
She's 8.
Yeah. She wanted nothing to do with getting up and getting out of bed on time and getting to school so that you could make this interview.
Yeah, we had a crazy weekend.
You had a little birthday party going on this weekend. It looked like fun.
Yeah, my son had like a performance. He plays with a DJ drummer duo, rapper duo. So we did that. And then, unfortunately, there was like a funeral this weekend. It was an action-packed weekend.
It's circle of life, man.
Truly.
Well, we always say yes when we get the word, when the Travis Barker bat signal goes up in the sky that you've got something you want to talk about. So we heard that you wanted to come into KROQ. You got a bunch of cool stuff going on. So where do you want to start, man?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to come by and personally give you guys our Misfits collab. I've loved that band since I was like a kid, they're just amazing. So we did this official collab with Jerry Only from the Misfits, and it's just been an honor. You know, it's rooted in punk rock and like our history, my history. So yeah, it's a really, really fun collab.
You tell me about your history with the Misfits. Like, what's your earliest memory of that band?
My earliest memory was hearing Metallica cover Last Caress. And I was so obsessed with the lyrics. And it was so, I don't even know if I could say them on the air.
Right.
but hearing them say that, it was like, oh man, I was like in seventh or eighth grade and you couldn't help but want to play it because it was so, they were saying the gnarliest things ever. It was, so bad to repeat the lyrics. And then I graduated on to buying my own Misfits albums and loving like Hybrid Moments and We Are 138 and Skulls, everything that the Misfits has to offer. And then I was always, I know it's divided now, but I was always a huge Glenn Danzig fan, a Doyle fan, Jerry Only fan. So, I've always loved the band, so this was a really, really special collab. We've done a lot of special collabs lately, leading into the bike. Yeah, the bike we did with PK Ripper. It was like SE Bikes has been around for like 30 years. I grew up racing BMX when I was a kid and loving BMX. So for that to come full circle 30 years later, and we do a collab with Famous.
How much did you race when you were a kid? What was your worst injury?
I did it until...
That can't go well.
Yeah, I did it until my friend Bobby Gourlay fell off a... there was a quarter pipe in our neighborhood everyone rode, and I saw him. He got all the way up to the top. He stalled on his back tire.
Yeah.
And then he hit face first and went into convulsions.
Oh!
It was terrible, and I witnessed the whole thing. So from then, I stuck to my skateboarding roots.
Yeah.
I continued skateboarding. It's just as gnarly skateboarding, man. You could get really, really messed up, but both skateboarding and BMX really shaped me, from everything from the music I listen to everything, really.
It's interesting how much you're going back to things that were big influences on you as a kid, and they still seem to affect you as much. You still seem to have that powerful connection with those things that you were in love with when you were, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old.
Yeah, I mean, when I put on Last Caress by the Misfits, to this day, still, you want to, scream as loud as you can in the car. And I still ride my bike, I ride all around town. Unless I got to pick up my kids or I got to take my drums to the studio or something, I'm on my bike. It's just nice,
Yeah.
Well, we have two conversations going on at the same time. Let me finish up the Misfits one by asking. So you're a huge fan of theirs. Then once you become a musician and are in a punk rock band, did you ever have occasion to open for them or get to know them, become friends with them?
You know, earlier this year in Canada, Blink was playing a set, but I was playing drums with H2O on the side stage, and Jerry Only and the Misfits were playing, you know, a couple slots after us.
Right.
So I went over there, and, you know, Jerry's super, super nice. You know, he came over and gave my kids Misfit masks, and, like, he's just...
Were you geeking out on
the best, yeah. Well, it always pays off. You like someone forever, and then you meet them, and they're actually stand-up, solid guy. It was just...
That doesn't happen a lot, it seems.
You know,
it really seems like you build them up so high in your mind, and then you meet them and say, I wish I hadn't met them.
Yeah. There's a lot of people I stay away from I don't want to meet that I like a lot.
Because you're afraid that they won't live up to what you think of them?
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, that wasn't the case with him. He was just so nice, so cool.
So this collaboration, this is official Misfits merchandise that Stars and Straps are putting out.
Yeah. It's available at famousstarsandstraps.com right now. So it's available right now, but then our full length, like kind of like we have a whole capsule of stuff with the Misfits that come out next fall. But we got this out for Halloween.
I find it hard to believe the Famous Stars and Straps is at its 15th year anniversary.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's been a long time, yeah.
But
I learned quite a bit.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, there's a lot of cats in the clothing industry. It was either, you know, it was like a startup with their dad's money, and they were all, you know, millionaires. Like, my dad didn't have nothing, you know. He's like lower middle class, blue collar worker.
You know,
awesome Vietnam vet, you know. I wasn't an attorney. I didn't go to fashion school. It was just... So for me,
wait, you're not an attorney, Travis Barker?
I am not an attorney, and I didn't go to college. It was just the passion for wanting to do something, you know, just like when I started music, you know, I wasn't, you know, born with drumsticks in my hand. My dad wasn't a famous drummer. It was like I loved these things, and I was passionate about them, and I practiced all the time, or I just, like, you know, I would stay up. I mean, it wasn't healthy, but I would stay up on Ritalin and other things when I started my clothing company, like, you know, like just... tweaking out, trying to, you know, figure everything out. I made tons of mistakes over the last 15 years and made a lot of great decisions.
If you were going to start it again today, would it be completely different?
I would do it exactly the same.
You would?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not learning from any mistakes?
Well, no, I did learn from mistakes, but I think they're like, it's like growth. You know, it's like growth. You just gotta, no one teaches you that. Yeah, you gotta go through it, so...
Travis, a lot of the collaborations, you know, on paper make sense. Like, I can see why you're working with the Misfits. I can see the SE Bikes, for instance, and some of the graffiti and tattoo artists that you've done collabs with in the past, I can see. Family Guy is the one that one of these things is not like the others. Like, I don't see how does Stars and Straps and Family Guy work. It does work when I look at the artwork, but how did something like that even happen?
You know, it came across in all of our artists. Like, I have great artists, like a great art team, and it was like a really – and big fans of Family Guy, you know? So when it came through, they already had, like, ideas. There was already – I mean, when it was presented to me, there was already art to go along with it. They were so excited about it.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, it was pretty cool. And, you know, you always got to throw a left, you know? Like, even when you make an album, you can't, like – everything on the album can't be predictable. It's got to be something where, like –
That's why you let Tom sing some of the songs.
Exactly. So yeah, like it's cool to throw everyone a left, and Family Guy was just cool, and our spin on it, you know, we definitely still kept it us.
Oh, the artwork is so cool. So,
thank you.
Oh, you put them in the hood, that's for sure.
Yeah, Family Guy went to the hood.
So you can find all of the stuff that we're talking about, the Misfits, the Family Guy, the SE Bikes. You can find it at famoussas.com, Famous Stars and Straps, if you don't remember, and it'll automatically go to famoussas.com. Do you have like a million collaborations that you want to do, like you've planned them out in advance, or is it just whatever your next idea is, you'll pursue that?
Yeah, we still have a couple more this year. Like we did a switchblade this year too, like a knife, which is really cool. But it was like a survival knife with like glass breaker.
What's happening?
Seatbelt cutter.
When we had a conversation about having you in, and Dave, the King of Mexico, started telling us all of these different collaborations that you were doing, and it's impossible to guess what's next. Like, why a knife? How did that come about?
That was another thing. But, I mean, I didn't want it to be like a weapon, but it is. I mean, I carry it in my car, like glass breaker, seatbelt cutter, and blade. But it has like it's hydro-dipped. So it's like the blade is actually printed on. You know, okay. It's not just a blade, and it's like our – it's the same camo that's on our SE bike. So everything kind of goes together, you know?
But what made you say I'm going to do a knife?
Why not?
Come on, Kevin. Why not?
No, it was just cool. Like, who makes a knife, you know? So that was a bit – I mean, we sold out of them instantly,
I'm sure.
You know, the first, you know, first day. And then we did
– Well, that's what America needs is more kids with knives on the street,
right?
Travis. Thank you for that.
We're doing one with Pusshead, who did the OG, like, Metallica art, Misfits art, who's like one – he did the art for my Give the Drummer Some album.
Mm-hmm.
We do one with Luke Westman, who's a really great tattoo artist, Chewy Quintanar. So there's, like, some that are predictable, you know, like tattoo community. But, you know, they just keep coming.
Let's talk about music for a little bit. This is Travis Barker in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about, among other things, the Famous Stars and Traps 15th anniversary and all the great new collaborations they're doing. You were playing at Staples Center this week with Demi Lovato?
Yeah, I played. It was a weird week. You know, I started off with Demi Lovato at Staples and then ended with Steve Aoki and Waka Flocka at Kimmel.
Okay, how? I feel like that's a normal week for you, though.
I like those weeks.
Yeah,
those weeks are always
so
interesting. You know?
Weird. And how do you get hooked up with Demi Lovato and all of that?
Yeah, how does that happen?
You know, she's a sweetheart, man. We've been, she actually, something cool about her, she's a huge Transplants fan.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, like that was our first thing. She's like, you know, I have a shirt from the first album you guys signed for me, you know, when I met her one time through my kids because they're big fans. But, yeah, so I was, you know, I was talking to her and she's like, you coming to my show tomorrow? I said, yeah, I think I'm bringing the kids. And then maybe like 3 hours later, it was midnight. She's like, would you play with me? And I was like, sure. You know, so she sent me the music and, you know, a couple hours later, we were on stage rocking together. And she's a drummer.
What?
Yeah, she plays drums. She's really talented.
I didn't know that.
She plays, because, you know, my kids grew up on it more than I did, you know, but she plays guitar, piano, sings, and plays drums.
So is awesome. There any kind of music you don't like, Travis?
Not really.
Or are you one of those people who thinks that there's good in every genre? Like if there were a country artist that wanted to play with you and you dug them, you would do it, right?
Yeah, like outlaw, rebel country, I love. Mm-hmm. You know, I had, you know, that came up a couple years back, like when they asked me to do the Country Music Awards. And I was like, oh, of course I would. You know, like I grew up on Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash and Buck Owens. So it was a tribute to Buck Owens, who I had grown up on, who passed away. So when they asked me to do that, it was like, that was another full circle moment. It was a show I could really invite my pops to, and I knew he would enjoy it. So yeah, there's always cool things
you
like that. You
have the weirdest life. You really do.
Those things keep it interesting. You know, the month that I've been home from Europe has been interesting. I got off the boat and they asked me to go do America's Got Talent with this acrobat crew. And the next morning, I'm in America's Got Talent.
Come on.
And there's kids flying over my drum set doing like backflips and stuff. So, you know, I never complain, man. I love what I do. So.
You sure do. Let me ask you this, if I can phrase this question properly. Is there a great difference in style when you're playing on a country song versus when you're playing on a punk rock song or a jazz song or anything else? I mean, because there are people who are experts in that genre of music. Are you able to pretty much fake it so you can play any style?
Well, I grew up playing everything, but like, for example, that gig – I learned the exact everything Buck Owens' drummer did.
Oh, is that right?
And I showed up there because I knew it was sensitive too. Like Buck Owens had just passed, and I really wanted to nail it. I wanted to play exactly what was there. And the guy's like, "Hey, man, there was a lot of mistakes on that record. You're playing them, so don't play his drum parts. I want you to play your drum parts."
Wow.
So yeah, he's like, you know, there was things we wanted him to do different. So, and then I got complete freedom.
Did it occur to you that they were mistakes when you were learning it, or did you just like that? I wouldn't have made that choice.
Nah, I was just
not at all.
I was just, you know, I thought some things were a little weird or whatever, but I was like, I want to do it just like he did, because if everyone there is going to be, you know, playing that song, I'm going to.
Then that's,
you know,
what they'd expect.
That's fascinating.
And it was crazy during that. Out of all the performances I've done, all the rappers I've worked with, it was probably the most gangster event that happened when I was playing with them. We were like rehearsing. And, you know, there's a lot of big country artists like Dwight Yoakam, Brad Paisley, Buck Owens' son. And we're learning the songs, we're going through it. And one of them turns to the other and he goes, "Hey, man, you can't be messing up. We got to be on because we have enemies out there tonight. So everyone's got to be playing. Yeah. Everyone's got to be a 10. Everyone's got to know what we're doing, the arrangement, and we've got to kill it." We have enemies in the crowd. Nobody mess up.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
It means, like, you know, I mean, old country, you know, outlaw country.
Is the North
country,
still fighting the,
like,
South? What's happening?
Yeah, basically. You know, they had artists they didn't get
That's
down
so
with
weird.
In the crowd. And he was like, nobody better, you know.
Really?
F up.
Wow.
So it was pretty gangster. That. I was like, wow, this is awesome, you know. These guys really care about it.
Listen, we're almost out of time, unfortunately, Travis, and I feel like we could talk to you for 2 hours straight because you have so many great things going on. But I have to ask, and I know you'll be back in before it comes out, but you're more than halfway through writing your autobiography now.
My memoir is almost done. I actually, last Friday, it basically went to the editors now.
Oh, no
so,
kidding.
Yeah, wow. they'll you know, give me feedback like, hey, you know, give me more of this or less of this, but it's, you know, every chapter's finished, and then I have like a discography where I talk about everyone I've played with and
that's
going to
be amazing.
Where.
Is this something you have wanted to do for a long time, or was this an idea that they pitched you and sort of talked you into? Because you're a fairly private person when it comes to a lot of aspects of your life.
Yeah, I mean, right after the accident, you know, I got pitched a bunch of stuff like, go on Oprah, go do this, and I wasn't solid enough to do any of that.
Right.
I would have broke down.
Your heart wasn't in it.
I would have been bawling, yeah. Not even be able to speak the whole time. So after time went on, between that and then I had like a cancer scare, I was like, man, I could kind of go at any moment. So maybe I will take the offers to write a book because it'd be kind of cool to get it out in case something does happen to me. You know?
You have a really great memory, or did you have to go back because you've done so many weird one-off and strange things? You find yourself in weird situations. Did you have to go back and talk to people? And
oh yeah, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, for one, I mean, it's therapeutic. Once you start talking about it, you'll start reading over it and go, oh yeah, and this happened and this happened. But there's a lot of interviews in my book. Like Skinhead Rob is very popular in my book. Mark Hoppus is in the book, like close friends. So it's not just, you know how sometimes you read a memoir and you're like, man, I don't know if that happened. Like,
right.
You're just saying that, whatever. Like, I have all the witnesses, all of
look, nobody
everyone
doubts.
To back it up. So it's pretty interesting.
Nobody doubts your stories because they're all true.
There's some.
That's
there's
what's
some,
insane about you.
Yeah. You know, I talk about getting too high when I invited, we all were supposed to go watch Drumline and I got too high and I didn't make it to the movie theater.
Oh, yeah.
One of my buddies brings that up. Yeah, it's pretty funny. But yeah, there's
he's
a lot
talking
of,
about me and Dave, the King of Mexico, because we were mocking Drumline, I think. And Travis was like, look, not until you see it.
Yeah.
Right. And we went over there and we were 2.5 hours later than we thought, but
yeah,
we got there.
I was too high to even come to you guys. So, yeah, there's some good, you know, there's a lot of, you know, like I said, like you said, I'm not, you know, I've always been the quiet guy in Blink. I'm
right.
Not, you know, busting out, you know, penis jokes or whatever. But the memoir, I hope, is like a crash course for a lot of people.
When do you think that'll come out?
It'll come out in March.
March.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't wait.
Can we have
I
you
can't
back
wait,
in then?
Travis.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to be in.
All right. Well, sadly, we have to leave it there, Travis. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to invite people to go to famousstarsandstraps.com and catch up on all the great collaborations. And just for 45 seconds before we say goodbye, we're going to put a picture of this bike up at krock.com so that people can go. They can hear this interview again. Tell me about this bike because we're going to give this one away. We're going to give away the first one.
Yeah, this is a limited edition SE Big Ripper. So like your normal BMX bikes are 24-inch. This is a 29-inch.
Made for adults.
Yeah, it's a big boy. And it's custom, you know, limited. It's all camo. It's all got like custom engraving, embossing, thick slick tires. It's crazy. It's the best. It's like my dream BMX. It's like my BMX bike I dreamed of like as a kid on steroids. So, yeah, man, whoever wins it, I hope they enjoy it.
What's it worth, Travis?
I think they retail for like $900.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Every time I ride it, someone they're like, yo, how much is that? I go, $900. The people get a sad face. it's amazing. I mean, they're the best bike company. You know, PK Ripper is amazing. Lightning, actually, from K-Rock, originally hooked me and the SE bike family up together. So shout out to
Lightning. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, give us a little bit of time, kids, and we'll get all this information up at the website, and there'll be a way for you to, you know, to enter to win. And we'll actually give that away this week because that is a very, very cool item. Travis, you know how much we love you sincerely from the bottom of our hearts.
I love you guys too, man.
We really appreciate you coming in and spending a little bit of time with us. Let's do it again soon, okay?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:57.
Hey, Ralph is here for the Showbiz Beat, but while you're doing this, could Beer Mug try to wrestle that knife away from Kevin? I'm not really comfortable with him carrying a knife.
Yes. I need a knife.
Yes. Kevin and Beer Mug wrestling over a knife is the best possible scenario. Like, only a good thing would come out of it. One way or the other, we all win.
But does anyone else...
Hold the knife up and start wrestling, fellas.
You're with me that Kevin doesn't need a knife,
I need a knife. What do you know?
Look, just I said, like I said, whoever ends up cut, how we all win.
You. Okay.
Somebody bleeds out. And
step in the right direction.
The show gets a little bit better. No matter how it ends good for everyone.
It's a win-win?
Yes.
Oh, that kind of sucks for me and Muggs.
Well, maybe you should take a long, hard look.
Yeah.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Fury, Brad Pitt's World War II tank movie, was number one at the box office with $23.5 million. Then Gone Girl with $17.8 million. Then Book of Life from our friend Jorge Gutierrez. And
so happy for him.
Guillermo del Toro, the animated film, which is, I can't remember really of a sort of a Latino skewing animated motion picture before. And I'm glad this one is doing well. $17 million made it number three. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad title. $12 million at the box office, made it number four. The Best of Me, and its debut was fifth. Dracula Untold, The Judge, Annabelle, The Equalizer, and The Maze Runner rounded out the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Halloween's right around the corner, and special effects makeup designer Greg Nicotero, who works on The Walking Dead, has a little something-something for you Walking Dead fans. A little, need a little help with your zombie makeup this year. He's got a tutorial up on the Walking Dead website. If you want to check it out, gives you hints on how to create your zombie look with simple kitchen supplies like gelatin and corn syrup and food coloring, and teaches you how to make a zombie.
That's cool.
That's amctv.com/shows/The Walking Dead/makeup tips. It's a lot of slashes.
That is, yeah.
But it'll be
appropriate
worth it
for Halloween.
Be worth it when you're impressing your friends at your Halloween party.
What happens if the zombies come? Are you prepared for that?
Jesus, just die. And this is seems wildly unnecessary. Primus is a band.
Yes,
that is unnecessary. Oh, how dare you! Primus is a classic, a legend. They're releasing their first new studio album in 20 years tomorrow.
Wow.
Bet it'll suck. How dare you? It's called Primus and the Chocolate Factory. And it is all songs from the classic 1971 movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Now I'm in.
All right.
The entire album is nothing but covers of songs from the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
I love that there's 20 years between albums and that's what they come
that's
back with.
That's what they came up with.
That's awesome.
After 20 years, it's a cover album
of
Willy Wonka songs.
I'm in.
Les Claypool, guitarist Larry Lalonde, Tim Herb Alexander, they're all back together again to give you the Primus version of the Willy Wonka songs.
Here's, let's check it out, shall we?
Here's a little taste of Primus doing Pure Imagination. Remember the song Pure Imagination?
Oh, sure.
When
sure.
Willie's in the chocolate room and in a world of pure imagination. Years. Primus finally gives its fans what it wants.
That's weird.
Yes.
I love it.
Yeah,
indeed.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Candace Swanepoel is 26 years old today. John Krasinski turns 35. Snoop, mother loving dog.
What do you do, nephew?
43 years old. Viggo Mortensen's 56. Danny Boyle, the very talented director, turns 58. And singer-songwriter, heartbreaker, Tom Petty, 64 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I don't feel like there's been very much Halloween spooks on the show today, by the way, when Halloween is only like a week and a half away.
Oh, we tried to get to it, but we lost it. someplace.
Hey, speaking of Halloween, anyone going to any Halloween parties? Anyone thinking of costumes at all?
The K-Rock one is Thursday night.
Yeah,
a week from
right.
Thursday, I guess, is it?
Yeah.
Or is it Thursday?
It's on the 30th. That's right.
30th,
it's
a week from
October 30th, right? Are you going to that?
I believe so, yes.
30 Seconds to Mars playing.
Yep, I know, playing live.
It's at the Fonda Theater. It's your only way in is to win your tickets from K-Rock. You can go to krock.com for all the details, but we're going to be giving away tickets starting next hour between 9 and 10. In fact, we'll have them in the 9 o'clock hour every day this week and all the way up until 5 p.m.
Yeah,
5 o'clock.
Hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
You don't come down here at all, Mr. Hasselhoff. You just call in between 9 and 5 weekdays on K-Rock.
Yeah, but where can I get them? I mean, they're like, where is there...
No, it's just on the phone. We just give them away.
Can I come to your radio station tonight and pick up something, or can
no.
I just go down there? Because
it would be pointless for you to come down here. It's just strictly a phone giveaway, or you can go to krock.com.
Yeah, and where do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, do you know?
I don't understand the connection.
I mean, I guess there probably are. If
major
you
fan of K-Rock. I'd love to hang out. I'll introduce the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Well, actually, it's 30 Seconds to Mars. It's going to be playing the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball, although... Nice try. Appreciate
how far
that.
Is the okay. The festival from the Marriott in Palm Desert? You know.
Well, there's no festival, but it's got to be what? It's got to be 90 miles.
Oh,
I would
yeah.
imagine.
I would guess
roughly
it's too far to walk. I would.
And when do they get the stuff really get going? In the afternoon.
Probably we're probably not going to start our Halloween party in the afternoon.
Yeah, I think it's going to be at night, Dave. By the way. $5,000 first prize for the costume contest.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's sweet.
So, can we win that or no?
I don't think so. No. I don't think you're eligible. Right. Hey, I'm not sure. Are my phones working? Do we have Gabriel?
No.
Not yet.
Your
okay.
phones are working, and we don't have Gabriel.
What are you going to be, Kevin? Have
I
you
don't
given
know.
Any thought to a Halloween? Because my
not...
wife is trying to get me to go to a Halloween party.
Oh, why would she even try that?
Doesn't she want to have fun?
How dare you, Lisa?
Why... Would she try that?
Yeah.
I don't know because I am not a Halloween party guy at all. But she wants me to be Stefan from Saturday Night Live.
I would like to see video of that.
Which I think is a costume that I could pull off. But you haven't given any thought to what you want.
I'm not into the dressing up thing so much. So yeah. it has to be easy. Not
right.
Lisa May easy.
Where she like, just look around
t-shirt
your bedroom
and go. T-shirt and keys,
these
right?
Look
I mean,
a,
that wasn't...
Yeah, no.
Ideal.
Maybe not my best moment.
But, you know, I'm not going back to Flava Flav, for example.
That's right. You were Flava Flav.
I was at a giant clock.
Yep.
Yeah. That happened. You were Kanye, if I recall correctly.
That was one of my favorite Halloween costumes. Although, when we had Kanye West on the phone not long after that, we were telling him what big fans we were. And I said, yeah I got dressed up like you at Halloween. You know, I had the glasses and I had the polo shirt with the collar up. And I, you know, painted my face black. And he was like, what?
Yeah.
That's not cool.
Yeah.
But I was trying to look like the guy that I was trying to look like for Halloween.
Yeah, but don't tell him that part. Stupid white guy.
Just leave it as
yes.
I dressed up like you for Halloween.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or don't even
so anyway,
up. I don't know.
Well, we'll see. Well, it looks like we're getting Fluffy on the phone. We'll have exactly 45 seconds to talk to him when
excellent.
He finally gets here, but I love him anyway.
Hey, Gabriel.
Good morning.
How are
hey,
you?
Fluff! What's going on, buddy?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me back, you guys.
Well, it's our pleasure. We had a good time last time. I know you're running a little bit late here, so we don't have much time with you, but you got a bunch of stuff going on that we wanted to hit, and I want to start by congratulating you for the Book of Life. You're one of the voices in the Book of Life. Big box office weekend with your friend Jorge Gutierrez over the weekend.
Oh, yes, very much so. I'm very, very excited for that one. I get to play a mariachi named Pepe, and I'm pretty jazzed because the movie has already made a lot of money, so something tells me Fluffy's going to get a new... cake very soon.
We had Jorge in here on Friday, and first of all, you guys are identical twins, and I laughed out loud when he walked in because I thought it was you. But second of all, what a nice, what a super cool guy he is. We really enjoyed hanging out with him this week.
He's a sweetheart of a guy. He really is. And, you know, I've worked with a lot of directors, and he is just super cool. And when you're in the studio, he constantly pumps you up and makes you feel like, you know, you're doing the greatest job ever. And I really respect him for that.
That's awesome. And speaking of movies, the Fluffy movie is finally coming out on DVD and Blu-ray, and that's going to be tomorrow. Now, the last time we had you in studio was when you had just filmed it and it was getting ready to come out in theaters. Tell me what that experience was like for you, having that movie play around the world.
Well, having the movie play itself, I mean, to sit in a theater and see yourself on the screen and see the reaction of the people is, I felt like I was being cloned. Because, yeah. You know, it's like every night I go up on stage and I do the material, and it's one thing for me to be on stage and see the reaction of the crowd as I'm doing it. It's another to hear another dude on the screen do those same bits and then see the reaction of the crowd. So it was very much a out-of-body experience for me.
Is it a weird, a weird situation where you sort of sneak in after it starts? I mean, it's sort of strange for you to go see your own movie of you.
Yeah, it sounds pretty vain, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it does a little bit, but I can totally understand wanting to watch the audience and make sure where they're laughing, what they're getting, and that whole thing.
You know, and the cool part with stand-up is that it translates very well to the big screen. You know, people are still sitting there, they're watching a show. It's just like them basically sitting and having a front row seat with the movie. So to be able to watch the reaction from the side of the theater, standing next to the guy that holds that orange flashlight.
Right.
It was pretty interesting. It was pretty interesting.
Do your fans come to your shows and or go to the movies dressed like you? Like, do you see a lot of Hawaiian shirts in the audience?
It actually does happen.
Yeah.
Fans will come out dressed out in Hawaiian shirts and denim shorts, or they'll come out rocking, Fluffy Shop T-shirts or hats or you know, the little fluffy beanies or whatever that I sell. So it's pretty cool. I almost feel like a comic book character.
This is Gabriel Iglesias on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, if you want to see Fluffy in person, Unity Through Laughter World Tour continues. You'll be at the Honda Center in Anaheim the day after Christmas, and then the Nokia Theater on the 27th and 28th. You can get tickets at axis.com. They are currently on sale. And one more thing before we have to go, Fluff, and that is that I caught you on Cristela. You're on a new ABC sitcom Friday nights.
They got me working hard, man. I'm like a hooker with a minivan. So I'm in the process of filming Magic Mike 2. I'm filming the TV show Cristela. I got the DVD coming out tomorrow. Book of Life is out this weekend. Stand Up Revolution, my TV show, is on Comedy Central Friday nights at midnight. And then I got the big show coming in L.A. At the end of the year.
Dude, take it down a notch. You're making us look bad. Come on. You don't need to be doing everything at the same time.
Yeah, right?
I do love, though.
I got to work while I can.
Yeah. I do love that your character on Cristela is a guy who wears Hawaiian shirts and denim shorts and just sits on the couch, drinks beer, and watches football on TV. I mean, if you got to work, that's not a bad way to go.
I love the fact that she lets me wear my own clothes on the show. I really appreciate that.
Yep, you don't see that very often. All right, see Gabrielle at the end of the year and get the Fluffy movie on DVD or Blu-ray. It is available everywhere in stores and download tomorrow. And then Cristela airs Friday nights at 8:30 on ABC. Fluff, great to catch up with you again, man. Thanks for the time today.
Thanks, you guys.
I don't follow professional football anymore. It's not a sport that I'm interested in. But if you are, Andrew Siciliano joins us from DirecTV's Red Zone and the NFL Network, coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here.
How'd
your
Eagles do, Ralph?
The Rams.
Eagles had a bye week, right? Like Arizona.
Arizona did not have a bye week. Arizona won a game.
Yeah.
Exactly. They won another one?
Yes, they did.
Did they?
Damn!
It was the Raiders.
Did they fall to the lowly St. Louis Rams?
They did not. No.
No. I wonder who did that.
No, the Rams.
I don't know because I don't follow football.
Who were the Rams playing?
I can't. Who the Rams beat.
I don't remember because I don't follow football.
We'll ask Andrew.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, you guys. I legitimately and sincerely and honestly love Larry King, but you guys think he's a big joke, right?
I love the fact that he's losing it. To me, that's funny.
Yeah, he had his time for sure.
Sure, yeah, and but he's your sad grandpa who's sitting in sitting in the corner of the party, just mumbling to himself.
That I love.
Nipping the
Ralph, you have never spoken truer words. He is an old person in the home now, except he has access to the internet, so he tweets the things that your great grandpa says to you when you visited him in the home.
Right. Love it.
And I thought it would be fun to compare some real Larry King tweets with some fake Larry King tweets that we made up and see if you can identify which one is Larry King, which one is fake King.
Is it Larry King tweeting? Is it fake or the real thing? Is it Larry King tweeting?
couldn't have been the best we could come up with.
All right, so I'm going to read a tweet, and if it's real Larry King, you will hear this sounder.
Will Glenda be there?
All right, and if it's fake Larry, you'll hear this.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Okay. All right. You guys ready to play? So it's going to be Kevin, Ralph, and Lisa. You guys are all going to play. We're only going to have time for probably about three rounds or so because then we got Andrew. So here we go.
Okay.
First up, I've never been on a hayride. I've never been on a hayride.
Real king.
Or horse racing looks fun for everyone except the horse. Horse racing looks fun for everyone except the horse. Which one's the real Larry King?
Never been on a hayride.
I think that's it, too.
I'm going second one.
You're going second one.
Yep.
I've never been on a hayride is the right one.
Will Glenda be there?
All right. Took a commanding bottom lead. Right to hell.
Yes. A commanding bottom lead. What does that even mean?
You know what it means.
All right. Here are your choices. Is it I miss Fats Domino? I miss Fats Domino. Or Humphrey Bogart would have been a Jeter fan. Humphrey Bogart would have been a Jeter fan. Which one's the real Larry King?
God.
He's a Dodger fan, right?
Well, he loves baseball.
He loves baseball.
That's a weird.
Give him to us again.
I miss Fats Domino. Humphrey Bogart would have been a Jeter fan.
Yeah, Humphrey Bogart would have been a Jeter fan.
Yeah, I agree.
Going with Fats.
Will Glenda be there?
Unfortunately, no. I miss Fats Domino is the real Larry King. Please hit the right sounder, Bear Mug.
I'm so confused on how you want
to do that. Yeah, how does he supposed to hit the sounder, depending on who guesses what?
That's a good point.
What if people guess different things?
Because he's supposed to wait and hit it after I say, because he's supposed to hit it after I say what the real one is, like we did the first time.
Okay.
So all of you got that one wrong.
No, I got it right.
No, Lisa got it right, and Ralph and I got it wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think this is going well.
I do too. It's easy to follow.
Thank God we only have time for three rounds.
Would it have been better if I just would have read a tweet and it would have been real or fake? Would that have been easier?
I think that would have been better, yes.
Because I thought it would be fun to compare them.
I think we should do Larry.
Then the sounders would actually have a purpose, and that would have been better use of our time.
All right, here we go.
All right. Here we go.
I never wear short-sleeve shirts, or what happened to corduroy?
Oh, corduroy.
I never wear short-sleeve shirts, what happened to corduroy?
I'm going corduroy.
Ralph says short sleeve. The other two, you say corduroy.
We say corduroy.
And now what are we supposed to do with the sounder?
You're supposed to wait till I read the real one.
Right.
The real one is I never wear short sleeve shirts.
Will Glenda be there?
Wow. I think we have another point for Ralph.
Yes, we do.
When would he play the other sounder, Dean?
I'm not sure.
When would he play the one that isn't for
I haven't thought that.
When would he play that for him?
All right. What's the score, Lisa?
It's Ralph and
Ralph
I both
and Lisa
have
are tied, and I have
a commanding lead from the bottom, or whatever.
In dead last place.
All right. Well, let's play. Let's play until we get a winner. How about that?
Let's go all day. Let's play until Beer Mug has to play that other sounder that there's no reason for him ever to play.
All right. Which one's real? Which one's fake? Larry King. If you've seen one fireworks show, you've seen them all.
Uh-huh.
Or hot chocolate is delicious no matter what the weather is outside. If you've seen one fireworks show, you've seen them all. Or hot chocolate is delicious no matter what the weather is outside.
I'm going with hot chocolate.
I'm going with
hot
fireworks.
Hot chocolate is real Larry, you say?
Fireworks is real Larry.
I think fireworks too.
Oh, now Lisa and Ralph are together.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry.
So we're not going to get a winner, but go ahead.
That's all right. Well,
and they are both right. That is the real Larry King.
Yes!
Will Glenda be there?
All right, this is the one.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
This is the one that's going to break it wide open.
All right, here we go.
Real Larry, fake Larry. Is plaid in or isn't Cher something?
Can we guess Bean?
Is plaid in or isn't Cher something? Real Larry, fake Larry.
I'm going Cher.
Then I'll go plaid.
There we go. We're going to have a winner.
Plaid for the win, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Lisa
wins.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Yeah, I'm
so
lost
proud.
Too, Larry.
I have to go back to the drawing board on this game, I think.
Is it Larry King or are we faking?
Oh! All right, so the Rams. Shoot. The Rams.
You know what? We probably won't even have time to get to that game. There were so many other games to talk about this weekend.
I can't remember who the Rams played.
Week 7 of the NFL. Our friend from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel, Andrew Siciliano, joins us on the phone. Hi, Andrew.
Bean, how do you feel?
I feel great. What are you guys talking about? I don't have a team. I don't follow football.
Because last week, coming off a Seahawk loss, if memory serves. You were rather despondent.
He was, yeah.
I was despondent. Yeah. I teared up a little bit at the end of the game. I teared up because I really thought with a minute left, the Seahawks were going to get the ball back, and it was likely they were going to get a field goal and win the game. And then they pulled that crazy thing where the punter faked it, and he threw it instead, and they got another first down and just were able to stay on the ball till the end. And it hurt. It hurt a lot, yeah. Andrew.
It hurt. Have you seen the meme going around about Jeff Fisher and his cojones?
I have not, no.
No, but he sure has them, doesn't he?
Yeah, pretty funny. Something about, thank God it was a home game because I'd have trouble getting on the plane if we had to go home. You know, it was a road game. You can follow me on that.
For folks who didn't see it, I mean, the Rams coach made a decision that could have easily cost him the game if they were not able to pull it off. They did it with a minute left in, you know, deep into their own territory, and the Seahawks could have easily.
Nobody does for that.
Yeah, which it's nobody does.
It's a terrible idea. It really is. But it worked.
And it worked. How about earlier in the game that fake punt return, basically, that they did, where they basically had all their guys run into one side of the field while the ball was on the other side of the field and returned that for 90 yards? That was one of the craziest fake plays I've ever seen.
It's hard to describe, and I'm probably not going to do it justice. The Bears tried it 3 years ago, and it actually worked for them as well, except there was a holding call. So the call came back. Basically, what happened is you have two guys back to return the punt, although no one actually sees that. You have your number one punt returner. When the ball goes up in the air, the team returning the punt all runs back to that returner as they would normally do to set up the wall to block for him. However, the ball went to the other side.
And the offensive team that's punting, it's their fourth down, they're punting, they're probably just watching where the team goes. They don't have time to look up at the ball, right?
Right. Well, but they should know. They should know which way the punter is punting the ball. But they get tricked out because the receiving team all runs to one side to supposedly block for the man who's going to return it. So if you're on the kicking team and the receiving team all runs to one side to block, therefore the ball must be going there.
Correct.
Your punter decided to do something different. Except he didn't. He kicked it to the side. He always intended to kick it where there was another man standing who caught the ball and ran it back basically unopposed and untouched the other way for a touchdown. It's one where the cameraman's fooled.
Yep, everybody totally. Cameraman totally lost it.
The entire building is fooled, and it's brilliant.
You don't see that kind of stuff very often in the NFL. It seems like a lot of times that's like high school stuff, that kind of.
It's a dead dog. I mean,
it really is.
A couple of weeks ago, TCU tried something somewhat similar where on a kickoff return, they had a man lie down in the end zone. Okay, so they're the returning team. And they were wearing like outrageous purple uniforms that Nike or Under Armour destroyed their tradition for, I'm sure. And they were lying in the paint of the same color. So, I mean, on camera, you couldn't even see them. It was natural camouflage. And then the guy jumped up, and after the returner caught the ball on the far sideline, the returner then turned and threw it to the guy who is now appearing from the paint out of nowhere.
Awesome.
He caught it, but, you know, the other team got him after he met like 20, 25 yards. I mean, he got yardage out of it, but it wasn't a touchdown.
It wasn't a touchdown like it was against the lowly Seattle Seahawks.
I'm not familiar with that team at all. I'm sorry to say. Although it has been years since the Seahawks have been at 500, that's for sure. All right, we don't have a lot of time today, Andrew, but let me throw out just a couple things and let me just get hear a couple of sentences from you. I was getting excited about this Cleveland Browns team. What happened yesterday? How do they lose and lose badly to Jacksonville?
Okay, so the game was 10-6 with 6 minutes left. The score doesn't do the game justice, but it is pretty embarrassing to go on the road and lose to a team that was in danger of going to 0-7 in back-to-back years, and no team had done that in 20 years. That said, I think I said it last week. I know I said it when I was on the radio with my friends in Cleveland. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not cheating on you. But that the Browns are not in any way good enough to just start, you know, checking off victories on their schedule. They're not.
Yeah. Even though they made us think they were with the Steelers win, they've really still got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, so much work to do. They're a decent team. They're not that good. And it's a road game, and they're awful on the road the last couple of years, regardless of how good the other team is.
All right, let's turn to Washington, Tennessee, because I saw how excited you were on the TV yesterday at Colt McCoy being in the game.
All right, so Colt McCoy's a really nice guy.
First of all, best name ever.
Best name ever. Yeah, like, right. Central casting quarterback. Like, I don't want your life. Like, kind of varsity. I mean, it's awesome, right? And he's one of the greatest college quarterbacks ever. Helped win a national championship. Well, played Alabama the national championship up there at the Rose Bowl. Anyway, I digress. He's a former Browns draft pick. Played a little bit there. Never really got a fair shake. Also didn't play that well. He looks like Woody from Toy Story. And he's the third string quarterback to start the season on the Redskins. If you had told me that Colt McCoy would have been put in a game this year, and he would have been put in the game because the person ahead of him was playing poorly.
Yeah.
I mean, no one on earth would have believed that. But he's not garbage. I mean, there are guys out there you look at and say, there's no way this man should be earning a paycheck in the NFL. Colt McCoy could play. I think people were happy for him. And there's a very good chance that Colt McCoy, high school and college legend in the state of Texas. I mean, they will have statues for him one day. I'm kind of exaggerating, but he led UT to more wins than anyone else. Will play next week in Dallas.
Oh, he's going to start.
Wow.
Wow.
He could. He could.
How about that? Well, I mean, it was pretty – what did he go? He threw a 70-yard pass?
Well, he threw a 10-yard pass with not a lot of mustard on it to the outside. It was exceedingly dangerous. But the guy caught it and then turned around and ran 62 more yards. For a 70-yard touchdown.
Sweet.
But
unbelievable.
70 yards on the stat sheet.
All right. Let me ask you this. How often, now maybe you don't even know this, Andrew, because you were red zoning, but how awesome does Fox or CBS dump a game because it is so far out of hand like they did yesterday with the Panthers-Packers game?
Oh, I didn't realize that.
They dumped it.
They didn't do it in Green Bay or Charlotte.
No.
Yeah. Well, I did not know that. It's two things. A, it's got to be really bad, and B, and there are rules that allow them, I think, things they have to check off before they could do it. B, there's got to be another game that's really good.
Yeah, they cut to the Seahawks game is what they did.
No, okay. Yeah, which makes sense.
That was a good game. Let's talk about that. Have you talked about that yet?
That game, you know, a friend of mine in St. Louis said to me this week, she said, the Rams make me sad after the game on Monday night. And they did not make her sad. Matter of fact, she was texting something about getting inebriated.
How about that? Well, because remember, they had previous two weeks blown leads of 14 and 21 points, and it looked like they were going to blow this one as well, but they didn't.
Well, they did it against the Cowboys and the 49ers also.
Yeah.
And they rallied from down 21 in Philadelphia. So against three legitimate teams that look like very good teams and playoff teams, they were here with a puncher's chance, if not an overwhelming chance to beat them, and they lost them all.
That's right.
But the Seahawks made it happen.
Can't hear you. Sorry. Can't hear you. Phone's breaking up. All right. Last question for me. I think we owe it to Peyton Manning to gush just a little bit about what he accomplished last night.
Yes, absolutely. And did you see the hidden ball trick afterwards where like the receivers were kind of like tossing the ball around like monkey in the middle and they wouldn't get
the ball. What was that all about?
Okay, so it looked like his receivers were playing a cute little prank on him. Aw, shucks, the sheriff, you know, you can't have the ball, we're your little minions, we run the town.
He set a record for those of you that weren't watching and wanted to keep the ball, as you do, and I guess
record was all-time touchdowns thrown in the NFL. right
past Brett Favre in 46 fewer games, or 56 fewer games. Anyway, turns out afterwards, one of the receivers let it out of the bag. Peyton confirmed it. The whole thing was planned, the whole keep the ball away from Peyton thing. Moreover, it was planned by Peyton, and they practiced it.
What? No way.
Why would they?
Because Peyton wanted to prank the prank, and he wanted the funny woman on TV where he controlled it, yet he knew that you knew, or he knew that he knew, but you didn't know. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying?
I love it. So grown-ups are playing hot potato on national TV.
Yep, and they practiced it.
That's
awesome.
Hilarious insider info. Who's next behind Peyton Manning in terms of most touchdowns thrown?
Drew Brees, and he's about 140 away and only 3 years younger. He could get there, but it would be hard. After that, it's like Eli and like Phillip Rivers, guys who are, you know, very good quarterbacks and very good careers, but they're
Peyton's going to play forever, though, so no one will ever catch him, right? Because he'll play until he's 70, right?
He will play till 77 years old.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Andrew Siciliano is the host of Around the NFL. It'll be on again this afternoon on the NFL Network at 3. And, of course, he does a great job every Sunday on the Red Zone channel on DirecTV. Andrew, we love you, man. Thanks for the time.
It's mutual. Bye.
Bye now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:56.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Ralph?
And you'll never hear Royals if you live in San Francisco. True. San Francisco radio stations have banned Lords Royals from the airwaves until after the World Series.
Really?
Yes, Kevin, because you don't want
they're playing the Royals
to be going out there putting bad mojo in the air.
Really? Mm-hmm. No, really?
While Giants are trying to defeat them in the World Series. But Royals.
Really?
Yes.
That's happening?
Yes, because that will affect the outcome of the series. However, Kansas City radio station 99.7 The Point plans to play Royals once every hour from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Burn.
See?
This is weak on both sides.
You might try to stop Royals on your airwaves, they say on their Facebook page to the other San Francisco station, but we'll just pump them up.
Yeah, man.
Woo!
What's going on?
This is Freedom Fries all over again is what this is.
Woo!
There it is now.
It's the worst smack talking of any playoffs ever.
I'm not going to play you that song. We'll play it. Boom. Although she did write that song about George Brett, you know. Royals.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like they're making up the connection between the singer and the team.
It's not about Prince Harry.
Are you guys pranking me right now?
No.
No, it's true.
She wrote the song after seeing a picture of George Brett. So it really is about the baseball Royals.
And yet,
Beer Mug's never looked more confused by it. Look at his face. Looks like a German Shepherd hearing a high-pitched whistle. It's true, Beer Mug. Wow. Add that to the list of things you don't know about.
Of all the superstitions, though, this one's stupid, right? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right.
Well, they don't want to appear to be giving comfort to the enemy, I think, is what
right.
they're doing.
And that's
so they guys never play Royals.
You guys all excited about the game tomorrow night?
No.
Wait, I can't wait.
Wait, is it baseball?
I actually get angry when I'm watching football and they promote baseball during the game. I'm like, get that off my screen. I'm watching football.
You don't think that's so awesome? The World Series starts Tuesday. I can't.
No.
Wait.
No, I think I need to rewatch the Rams game from this past weekend.
You know how there are a lot of people who don't follow soccer, for instance, but then when it's the World Cup and it means something, all of a sudden they're into it because it's important.
Yes.
Well, maybe World Series, maybe that's all the baseball you need. Maybe you don't watch it the rest of the year, but now that you have the two best teams playing against each other for a championship that means something, now maybe it's the time to get into it.
Oh, wow. It's been a while.
We haven't had Keyboard Cat play anybody off in a while. But she felt like she had to come out of retirement for Bean and his damn baseball talk. Hey, speaking of music, Gwen Stefani, she's got a new single. Her first new solo song in 8 years. The song was co-written by her producers Benny Blanco, Ryan Tedder, and Noel Zancanella. It is, it's okay.
It's just okay?
It's a little weird. It's like synthy and sort of poppy and strange. And
she went that direction for a while.
Yeah, and this isn't really a good even use of her voice, which I think is terrific. The song's called Baby Don't Lie. Here's a little taste.
But there's something behind those eyes that you can't disguise.
You could have told me it's the new J-Lo single, and I would have been, oh, yeah, okay, sure, that makes sense. Sounds like that to me.
Well, most of the pop music that's on, you know, say, amp radio, sounds like it's all made in the same studio by the same producers.
Right, but Gwen Stefani doesn't usually do that. Usually she has her own unique sound that is, you listen to her say, wow, that's absolutely Gwen. That certainly was what she does.
She doesn't even spell out bananas in that clip you played.
because she sings piano.
No, I'm saying as an example of the type of song that was very,
no,
you weren't.
No, don't start backpedaling now.
I'm not backpedaling.
Oh, no, I meant that as an example. Shut
it's
up.
It's exactly
now.
What I meant.
The
is that clip
ass
that...
joke is what you made.
It wasn't a joke, Ralph. I'm agreeing with you that that clip that you just played sounds pretty generic compared to some rather interesting songwriting we've seen from some of her other solo songs. That's all I'm saying.
Nope.
You're just denying that?
Yeah. You can watch the video for that song if you want to on The Voice tonight. Apparently they're going to debut it on The Voice because she's a judge over there. See you, Lisa.
Do it.
Bye, Lisa.
She just left. She must not like
she has had enough of this nonsense.
And it is Monday, so really quickly, top 10 movies at the box office. Fury, number one, $23.5
million. Is anyone else concerned that Lisa just got up and walked out? Like, shouldn't we be investigating?
I've been expecting that for some time now. Gone Girl, Book of Life, Alexander, The Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. I hope that's off the top 10 list of movies very soon, because I don't want to be talking about that movie and that title any longer.
Yeah.
Best of Me, Dracula Untold, The Judge, Annabelle, The Equalizer, and The Maze Runner were your top 10 movies. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Birthday. It's my candle-blowing birthday.
Candace Swanepoel is 26 years old today. John Krasinski of The Office is 35. Snoop Dogg's 43.
What do you do, nephew?
Viggo Mortensen, 60. Nope, 56. Danny Boyle is 58 years old. And singer Tom Petty, 64 years old. I didn't know he was that old. 64?
He looks 84.
How dare you?
He does.
64 years old. I'm Ralph Garman.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39. We're just about to do the Ralph Showbiz beat. I'd like to ask Lisa May what went wrong.
Yeah, see you, Lisa. Surprise, you're still here.
Ralph just pissed me off. That was it. I was
hour,
done.
Ralph was doing the showbiz, and Lisa literally turned
just
and ran out.
Stormed out.
Or I got a little piece of meat stuck in my throat. And I couldn't get it out.
Wait a second.
Meat in her throat?
And I kept turning off my mic to cough, and I realized that wasn't doing it. And then tears started running down my face. And
So there was meat in your throat.
There was meat
in
my throat, which I could not dislodge.
Made your eyes water.
And then my eyes started watering.
So the meat in your throat made your eyes water.
It made me cry.
And you left the room?
To enjoy myself privately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Were you literally choking?
I had to go in the bathroom. You know that kind of choke that you do where you, like, it's almost like you're throwing up. You cough so hard.
Yes.
That's what I had to do.
Okay. That is not sexy.
You're just digging the hole deeper.
Like, the hole is what it is. There's nothing.
On the menu this week.
Yeah.
It's your advertising, but not this time.
I'm glad you're okay.
Thank
you.
Been
terrible if Lisa had choked to death and died during the show.
Just collapsed in that bathroom.
Terrible.
With the door locked. No one could find me.
Wouldn't have been ideal.
I mean, it would take us so long to get Allie McKagan here to replace you.
Like a minute?
All right. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Would have been horrible for us, but it would have been sweet, sweet relief for Lisa.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, right? I wouldn't be here right now.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right. You wouldn't have to hear this conversation.
You wouldn't have to sit through another Larry King game.
By the way,
I think that went well.
Yeah,
I think it went well, too. Uh-huh. And I do want to thank Chip, by the way, who contributed several of the fake Larry King tweets. She did an excellent job with that. We should have also asked her to host it. That would have made it a lot better. But she's a very clever girl.
She's good at that because she reads Bean's tweets.
Right.
Like, that's her job.
Just imagine what would Bean say.
Right.
She plays that game.
And she just writes it right out.
We just needed more sounders. We needed just more production elements to play.
Will Glenda be there?
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Is it Larry King or are we fake King?
I could use more of those.
Look, I blame myself for the
That's good
because
we blame
down.
You too.
Yeah, you should. But it was still fun. We still had a good time, right?
Oh, we all had a great time.
I thought we had a good time.
Well, that's all that matters. John Wick.
Guilty.
It's not the name of an adult film star that Lisa had in her throat. It was the name of a movie, John Wick.
John Wick.
John Wick is the name of a movie. Keanu Reeves stars as John Wick. An ex-hitman who comes out of retirement to track down the gangsters that take everything from him. John Wick. It's in theaters everywhere. October the 24th. However, we're having a special K-Rock screening tomorrow night at the AMC Century City. If you'd like to see John Wick, Call me now, 1-800-520-12... What? 1-800-520-1... I've forgotten the number.
Yeah!
I'm tired. I did not sleep well
last night. He'll get it. Let's just wait for him.
1-800-520-1067, I believe, is the number. Call now. Two people will get tickets to see John Wick. JohnWickTheMovie.com is the website, by the way. If you want to go on the internet and find out everything you can about John Wick, that's the place to go.
All right.
Speaking of movies, it is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Here's what was number one. Fury, Brad Pitt's World War II tank movie, $23.5 million.
That was great.
Debut made number one this weekend. Gone Girl, $17.8 million. Number two, The Book of Life. So happy for our friend Jorge and the rest of the gang put that movie together, and its debut made $17 million.
Strong.
A lot of good buzz, too. People went to see it, really enjoyed it. Alexander and the blah, 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 blah. Fourth on the list, The Best of Me was fifth. Dracula Untold, The Judge, Annabelle, The Equalizer, and The Maze Runner rounding out the top 10 movies at the box office.
Well, I want you to check out, there's a new movie you have to see.
All right.
What? It's called Jimmy All Is By My Side.
Jimmy All Is By My Side.
Shot in actual film. It's color.
Shot on film? In color?
Full of 60s, you're not going to believe.
Uh-huh.
And it's just incredible.
That was this weekend?
And Andrew right. Benjamin.
You got something caught in your throat?
Jimmy to the T. Because I used to know Jimi Hendrix, and he's you got to check it out.
Okay.
This is this is like a really good rockometry thing.
Rockometry
thing? Don't forget.
This weekend?
I like that Rodney used to know Jimi Hendrix, by the way.
We didn't just let that go by.
I mean, seriously.
I'm looking forward to the work of Andre Benjamin.
Good old Andre Benjamin. I guarantee Rodney's never heard of Outkast.
No, that's for sure.
How did he used to know Jimi Hendrix? What year did Jimi Hendrix die, you guys?
I don't know.
68?
68?
Something 69? Like that, yeah.
768?
Wow.
Feel free to not talk.
Your face is so full of whatever that you have to water. Grunt at us.
It was water.
Yeah.
And he played Woodstock at 69, so couldn't
have died. 70?
71? A long time ago.
It's pretty much 40 years ago.
But Roddy was the king of the Sunset Strip in the 60s, man.
Yeah.
He was a stand-in for Davy Jones on the Monkees TV series in 66. He was hanging out with Sonny and Cher in 67.
Yeah.
So it's not surprising he would know Jimi Hendrix, who died in 1970.
Unbelievable life.
Not just that he was alive, but that he knew Jimi Hendrix.
He knew him.
Yeah. That's crazy.
He's Forrest Gump.
He really is.
That's what he is.
He really
That's what Rodney is.
And before that, we heard
Run, Rodney,
Glam
run.
Skanks.
Okay.
Miss Erogenous.
We don't need Lamb Skanks.
The Glam Spanks. Skanks.
Oh,
glam
Jesus. Skanks.
What?
You knew Hendrix, trouble with that but you one. Can't speak. So it's a trade-off. You little troll. And here's another thing that's weird, besides Rodney. Primus is releasing its first new studio album in 20 years tomorrow. It's been 20 years since Primus has released a studio album.
Wow.
And so they chose to make an album entirely consisting of covers from the music of the 1971 movie musical Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Are we playing a real Ralph story or fake Ralph story
no,
right now?
This is for real.
I love this choice.
It's the original lineup, the classic lineup of Primus, Les Claypool, Larry Lalonde.
I love it.
Tim Alexander. And if you buy the vinyl edition of the album, you could get one of five golden vinyl copies, like golden tickets.
Ah.
And if you do, that means you get free Primus concert tickets for life. The rest of the LPs will all be on chocolate brown vinyl.
Why?
I have no idea.
For your entire story,
I have no idea what okay. Primus's connection is to Willy Wonka, or why they enjoy that music so much, or why they feel it's necessary to cover it, but that's what their new album is. Here's a little taste for your enjoyment of Primus covering the Willy Wonka classic, Pure Imagination.
Yep.
Yeah, it's them.
I love that.
Why?
Because it's awesome.
It's not.
Because why? That's the point. Like, how do you choose?
Awesome.
After 20 years, you're going to do a cover of...
It's a waste of everyone's time and energy.
I love it. I'm going to get it.
Think it's a hit?
It's a hit.
Yeah, there they are.
Right.
Back together again still rocking.
Right on.
Met with them last night at Cantor's.
All right,
and they're still going together. So maybe they'll do one show and and all that. It'd be great.
Can we?
Got to get them some gigs in L.A. Okay. They should try The Smell in downtown.
The Smell?
They should try The Troubadour.
What's wrong with you?
I'm not going to The Smell.
There's no club called The Smell.
Tell you that right now.
Anyway, I'll be back right after this.
There is a club called The Smell. I'm not going to go there.
The Smell gets none of my business.
They should open the doors to The Smell and let it air out.
Hey, Dave, could you look that up and see if there is, in fact, a place called The Smell that the business in Los Angeles?
There is a club with
Los
The Smell, but you can only get in the back door.
Hey, there you go.
Very
rim
well
shot.
Done.
Very well done indeed.
Thank you. Today's celebrity birthday is
Jimi Hendrix.
Singer Tom Petty is 64 years old. Doesn't know Andre Benjamin, though.
No, of course not.
Danny Boyle's 58. Viggo Mortensen's 56. Snoop celebrates his 43rd birthday today. John Krasinski is 35, and Candace Swanepoel, she's 26. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Smell is, it's downtown. It's at all ages. Alcohol and drug-free punk rock place.
How about that?
Well, there's nothing like that alcohol and drug-free punk rock to really, really get going.
That says nothing says punk rock like alcohol and drug-free.
Wonder how Rodney knows about an all-ages club.
He'll just go where the music is, Ralph.
No,
I'm sure that's the answer.
That's what it's about. It's not about the young folk.
Right.
We learned something from Rodney today. How about that?
We learned about The Smell from Rodney.
Yep, we sure did.
Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin DeBeach Show, Craig Robinson joins us in the studio. We love him so much. We have tickets for Festival Supreme. We have 911 as a joke. Ralph, we're going to do your topic of weird OCD things. James Spader.
Good.
In one story earlier today, you told us that James Spader, couldn't watch people
eat? Watch people eat. You got to turn your back to James when you eat on the set of The Blacklist.
What does he do with those, like, Carl's Jr. commercials and stuff?
Oh, my God.
He must drive him crazy.
Yeah.
Close-up, slow motion, must drive him nuts. And what's wrong with Emily Ratajkowski's nipples?
Nothing.
Really?
Right. That's what I say.
That's our point.
Dave.
Dave says it ruined the movie for him, her nipples
in
Gone Girl.
What movie is this? Oh, Gone Girl.
Oh, my God.
And Tom Cavanaugh, one of the stars of The Flash. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.